Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the latest video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to game week 30. My name is Joe and today we'll be looking to see who's due a goal or assist using Fantasy Football Scout's trusty goals and assists imminent tables. As usual, I'm joined by Fantasy Football Scout's deputy editor Tom Freeman. Welcome, Tom. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay, thanks, Joe. Yeah, game week 29 was pretty rough, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I was on a free hit like yourself, Joe, and I think I got 21 points in the end, which didn't feel too bad compared to some of the other sorters I heard, but still underwhelming.
Yeah.
But looking forward to the run-in now. We'll hopefully get clarity on double game week 34 soon so we can start to put in place chip plans and things like that for the remainder of the season. So, looking forward to it.
Yes, indeed. I'm looking forward to getting some points. So, everyone blanked. I've never known a free hit chip like that. We were speaking before we came on air. It would have been, I bet every FPL manager has had this fantasy afterwards of like, why didn't I just go for it? Why didn't I get Fofana, Chris Woods, Muniz up front? Why didn't I get, and basically go through the list of all those players that no one owns who scored, and you could get 60, 70 points, but it could have gone the other way. Alanga's goal could have gone in, Madison's goal could have gone in, and then suddenly you're 60 points down. But I guess that's what FPL is. So risk, reward, and things like that.
Yeah, and I guess, the forward spots were where you kind of look back and you think, could I have done something differently? But it's very hard to back against players like Watkins and Tony, given the fixture. I mean, that the Reguilón sending off just completely changed the dynamic of that match, didn't it, Joe? And I had Flecken as well. And so the clean sheet went, they couldn't attack as they would have done with 11 players on the pitch, which impacted Tony. And it was just, I went into the match on Sunday and you just knew it was going to be 1-1 without any kind of goal scorers or assisters of note. That's exactly how it kind of played out in the end. And Caduce had the goal disallowed, didn't he? Another popular pick. Bowen had an assist denied as well. So it's just one of those weeks. You just got to write it off and move on and look ahead to game week 30 now.
Rightio. Welcome to those that joined us in the joining us in the live chat early. FPL Big Head, British 87, Gully Side, John David, Anup, Sukan, Zubin, Thomas, Who Games, and many more. Thanks so much for joining us early. Do remember to press that like button and do remember to subscribe so you can be up to date with our latest videos and podcasts. And also do check out membership offers at fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. I'm assuming you can all see and hear us fine. If just one of you could in the live chat say you can see and hear us fine, because as usual I don't get any live playback because we are beaming to Twitter as well this time around. Okay, let's see how we got on. What we do in this video, we have the goals and assists imminent tables, which use the Fantasy Football Scout members area stats, looking at underlying stats, looking at sort of under the radar picks that are just going. Could you just bear with me 1 second? There we go. So I was just pressing a few buttons there in the live chat. I was just we look at these goals and assists table, it's looking at all the underlying stats. So we're looking at under the radar, low owned players. So there's no point us coming on here saying, hey, everyone, get Salah in. Everyone knows Salah's good. But when you come on here and say, hey, get this X Nottingham Forest player in, for example, you know, it's a bit more interesting, mixes up a bit and gives you hopefully a march up in your mini leagues, which is good. Tom, if there's any moment when I'm speaking for a long time, if you could go into Alert Fantasy Football Scout, we might need a moderator in the live chat.
Oh, in the chat. Yeah, sure.
Just to get someone in there. That's fine. Okay, let's have a look and see how we did. We did rubbish. It was a very short table. We only had a few names in each of these goals imminent and who were due an assist and who was sort of under the radar pick. So all of our blank game week 29 goals imminent picks completely failed. Alanga, for what? No one wanted trying. I thought he was going to do okay for Nottingham Forest. Blanked. Ramsey blanked. Don't think he even started, did he? No. I mean, nope. I was away for the weekend, so I didn't really see. And kudos to West Ham, very popular pick, but he has gone blanked for us as well. So, Langer was a surprise. And I think with nice fixtures on the horizon for Nottingham Forest, Crystal Palace at home, Fulham at home, Tottenham away, then Wolves at home. This is a really good set of fixtures. So I think those that didn't free hit and just got Langer in, they can probably feel okay.
Yeah, and I think the rationale behind the move was sound. I mean, he had a shot cleared off the line, didn't he, at the weekend? He created a good chance. I think it was for Origi as well who missed. Mm-hmm. So the pick in itself was okay. It just didn't produce the points. But Forest now, they've obviously been hit with this four-point deduction, haven't they? They've dipped into the relegation zone now. So these next few matches are going to be absolutely massive for them. I think three of the next four are at the City Ground as well. And I think Alanga had been... Prior to when he was dropped at Brighton, he'd been actually getting a lot of big chances. I think he'd had more than any player in the league in the four matches leading up to that.
Yeah.
So I think 5.1 million, I think he is now. I think if you own him and you bought him in and you weren't on a free hit, I'd be absolutely fine playing him in the next few fixtures.
Yep, definitely. Obviously, Ramsey got injured as well. Has been injured. Kudos at West Ham. Now, I'm doing a series of videos this week with Fantasy Football Scout writer Mark, just looking in general at the best sort of goalkeepers, defenders, midfielders and forwards to get in. We're just going to do separate videos on all of those. Obviously, we're going to be looking at things around the double game weeks coming up. We don't know. We might get an announcement soon, within days, could be over the next week, but it should be soon, of who is doubling in 34 and 35. And that will influence all our picks. So any names we do mention, and also any names we mention on those videos, obviously bear that in mind, that we'll be looking at their form mainly, but they could have those double fixtures as well. But the reason I bring that with Kudos is because it plays for West Ham, and there is a number of teams that don't currently have a double game week planned. So, and of course, West Ham and Villa are amongst those as well. So that's why probably now is not the time to start investing in West Ham, I would say. Would you say that as well?
Yeah, I think the focus is on, it's shifted now, hasn't it, to 34. My next move in is to bring in Salah. Mm-hmm. And the hope is that Liverpool will double in 34. It could be 37 instead, of course. But the focus is 34. So, I mean, I've just been writing a piece on Watkins and what to do with Watkins. And there isn't a lot wrong with the player himself. He'll continue doing well towards the run-in. But the nature of double game weeks means that we want to maximise points and we want to maximise fixtures. And unfortunately, Watkins is a fixture down on quite a lot of other strikers like Darwin Nunes, and even two fixtures down on those at Chelsea.
Yeah.
So it's got to come into consideration that. Yeah. But I think that is a key reason why we're probably not going to be looking at a player like Kudus anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, so these players, we don't know exactly when they're going to be doubling. But we know that currently Aston Villa, West Ham, Fulham, Brentford, Luton, Nottingham Forest and Burnley are not doubling. At the moment. That's not to say they won't in the future, because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if there's going to be any train strikes or monarch deaths or anything like that to affect things. Mm. But currently, as it stands, they're not the players I'm interested in getting. Yeah. But we'll have a team reveal video as well, so we can probably touch on that a bit more for our own teams. But let's have a look at this assist imminent table. We do have a success here, finally. So Iwobi didn't do us proud in getting an assist here, but his team were excellent. So I think that was, I'm not going to claim that we were any good in saying we're recommending him, but Fulham did surprise us all, didn't they, in that game?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we said before we came on air, Joe, we thought Fulham would do okay at home, but just didn't see that result against Spurs coming at all, especially after what we saw from Tottenham the week before against my team, Villa, when they absolutely blew us away. I think Spurs had scored in every game under Ange Postecoglou prior to Saturday as well. So this really was a turn up for the books. Didn't help for any of those who tripled up on them, like pretty much every free hit team I saw did do that, and it made sense to do that. But yeah, Fulham just, they executed their game plan very, very well. And Muniz was the main beneficiary from that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Iwobi, I thought, was good. I thought he linked up well with Castagne down the right, but it didn't no points materialised from it. Pereira, again, was quite aggressive. But no points for him either. But yeah, if you went with Muniz on the on the free hit, then you're absolutely laughing, because you're probably 10 points up on, at least 10 points up on most of the other teams.
Definitely, yeah. And so same with Pereira as well. He's playing much more advanced for Fulham. And you know, Fulham are good, really good side. We can't get over that. Muniz is the one that's now firmly on the radar. We know about them. Iwobi let us down, but you know, could have got a haul. Pereira as well could have done well. So, you know, same principles as Iwobi, really. Fulham are a good team, but they don't double as it stands. But they do have good fixtures. So it depends on how you want to think about it, and think of if you're going to be wildcarding at some point, then you can still invest in players that are definitely not doubling now, because you might be wildcarding ahead of that double game week. So you'll be investing in there. So it's not to say don't go for these players. It's just me personally, I'm more interested in those with more fixtures. But Fulham's fixtures: Sheffield United away, Nottingham Forest away, and Newcastle at home, West Ham away. Great set of fixtures. So won't put anyone off getting Muniz in, for example.
Yeah, and it's very chip dependent, like you say, Joe, isn't it? Because myself, and I think you as well, we're probably going to wildcard in 35 or 36. So transfers now, because we're not using like a free hit in 34, it makes sense for us to target the players who are going to play twice in 34 with free transfers now and bring them in. But again, if you're free hitting in 34 and then you're going to wildcard in 35, 36, then yeah, somebody like Muniz could be of interest, because I think three of the next four are away for Fulham. Mm-hmm. They're not quite as good away from Craven Cottage, but he's a cheap striker. They're playing a couple of poor defences in that run. So if he enables somebody like Salah, I know a lot of people are looking to raise funds at the moment, dropping down from a striker to Muniz and then upgrading a midfielder to Salah, that could work for some people.
And same principle about the sort of lack of double game weeks, but a player that I wouldn't be annoyed if I saw a team. Well, I wouldn't be annoyed anyway, but I wouldn't look at a team and think, oh, that's poor, if a player like Gibbs White was in there. And the same principle as Elanga, really. So he did get the assist. I would imagine he was in a few free hit teams. He was probably a bit like me in a free hit team at some point during the week, because all the players, there were certain players, but he did actually get a return, got an assist. But Nottingham Forest fixtures: Crystal Palace at home, Fulham at home, Tottenham away, Wolves at home. These are really good set of fixtures. So if you've got Gibbs White, he's definitely a hold for a while. But bear in mind, he doesn't double. So that's going to be a bit of a problem there. So, I'm going to move over to the next one. If you just bear with me a second. There we go. So we'll move on to the goals imminent table. This is the latest one as well. So Tom's not around next week. So what we're going to be doing is sometimes in international breaks, we look at how we got on, and then the following week we show the tables. But Tom's not around next week, so I'll do another video next week or something. I might do something around the captaincy, for example, because there is a big decision in game week 30. Mm-hmm. There is choice. So we'll go straight into the goals imminent table. If you bear with me there. Okay. So yeah, first name is Diaz at Liverpool. Yeah. Now I quite like him if Liverpool get a double game week. He's the sort of third Liverpool player I'd want to get in, apart from a defender, Salah, or I might get Darwin and Salah. Yeah. But I really like Diaz. I think there's a really good, and he's a really good option there. And I wish I'd got him in that last double, because he did well then, didn't he?
Yeah, he really stepped up when Salah was unavailable, didn't he? His shot volume just went through the roof, and they were really turning to him. But he suddenly became like a key figure in their attack, one of the more experienced players. If they get this double in 34, I think we're all going to want to be tripled up on Liverpool. So like you say, I've got Van Dijk. I think you've got Kalea, haven't you, Joe? And then we're both going to have Salah. So it's then, who do you complement the two players with? And I think Darwin's going to be really popular. But I think Diaz has a bit of an alternative to that is good. I want to get an update on Jota and see where he's kind of at in terms of coming back. I don't think it's anytime soon. So you would think Diaz will play the majority of games on the left. Another name, McAllister. He's been playing a bit more advanced as an eight recently, but I do think that it's probably one of Diaz or Darwin to join Salah and a defender, I think.
Sukan in the live chat has been very useful in reminding us all that Darwin's on 8 yellow cards. He does like a card. Yeah. So, yes, it might be that Diaz is the one we go for, whilst Jota and a few of the others, Alexander-Arnold, for example, are injured.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, while I mentioned the name Sukan, I've added something to your ability in the live chat. I know you, like me, had noticed that there was a naughty person in the live chat who was spam posting. So I've added moderator function to you, Sukan, because you're here all the time. I think goal's imminent. And I just wondered if I'll get a chance, I'll try and delete the obvious spam poster when I can. But if I can't, Sukan, if you could as well, that would be really great for me. If you can't, don't worry. But just be nice.
What does he just have to do then? Does he just click on the post and delete it or something
That's it. There you go. The normal person wants to ruin it for everyone.
And just going back to the Darwin point as well, another player who's been spoken about a little bit is Nicholas Jackson, because Chelsea have got more double game weeks coming up, but he's actually on 9 bookings now. Mm-hmm. So one more booking for him and he'll get a two-match ban as well. So that's two forwards there, Darwin and Jackson, who I think people will look at during the run-in. And you've got to be aware of that yellow card count.
Excellent. Sukan says sure. Thanks, Sukan.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. We've got Ramsey here injured, so we're going to sort of skip over him. But Garnacho's another name. Interesting. Yeah. Now, in terms of the double game week coming up, it's because Manchester United beat Liverpool in the FA Cup, it's likely it's going to be game week 37, not 34. Am I right in that?
It has to be, yeah. It can't be 34 now.
Okay, good. So, well, that's not good for me because he's in my team at the moment and I've still got a wild card to play. So if you are about to wild card, even if you're doing it before game week 34, Garnacho is a player that should be on your radar. I think he's certainly the best value at Manchester United. I think you get some good returns from him. You know, he can really haul as well. So he's missed a big chance, but he's had 3 shots on target and 14 shots in his last 4 matches. 11 of those shots have been inside the box as well. He started every game, so he's cemented there. He's actually been underperforming by at least a goal, which is annoying if you own him. I think it was 2 weeks ago he got 2 assists, didn't he, in the game?
Yeah.
I think I was at the FPL meets in Yeovil and had to stomach him on my bench for that. He's a player that should be, I think, on a wildcard or at least in consideration for a transfer in at some point. But his double will be 37. But the fixtures are I'm just looking for Manchester United fixtures. I think they're...
they're okay.
I think they're okay.
They're better after 34, admittedly. But there's, you know, he's the kind of price where you can easily bench him, as you said, Joe, can't you? So it's really good option. Hoyland's coming back. Mm-hmm. Going to get a boost from that Liverpool win, you would think. So, yeah, what an enabler for the run-in. If you wildcard in 35, you get, what is it, Burnley, Palace, and then a double game week or something like that, which is just incredible.
Yeah, so. I mean, also, it's, I mean, Brentford away, game week 30 is okay. Game week 33, you've got Bournemouth away. So pretty good. Mm. I mean, I probably won't field him myself this week, but game week 33, certainly on my radar to field. And to be honest, Chelsea away as well, game week 31 is okay. Definitely a good first bench. At home to Liverpool, well, who knows what's going to happen there. No one expected Manchester United to beat Liverpool. Well, I say that. No one expected them. But then in the commentary I heard in the FA Cup that at home, I think Manchester... Away, Liverpool have not beaten Manchester United in the FA Cup since 1920 or something. So it was actually bizarrely predictable, if you like, history. but yeah, okay, Garnacho. Kudos, we've already mentioned there. I'll just mention his stats there. 15 shots, 8 inside the box. So he's still a player to think about. McNeil at Everton. Everton, once again, have got a double at some point. Could be 34, in which case Everton, suddenly we might see some Everton players in people's teams. He's had 10 shots, 7 inside the box. Just 3 on target, been marginally underperforming by about a goal, but he's had a big chance and he's missed it. Everton in general, but also McNeil. I'm not sure I want Everton players, but if they got a double.
Yeah, I think the defence is where you would probably look, isn't it, with Branthwaite or even Tarkowski if you've got a little bit more, because they've got some... The next four fixtures don't look great for clean sheets. They have got Burnley at home in 32, but apart from that, it's all away. But then if they've got a double game week, they then play Brentford and Luton and Sheffield United after that. So I think Branthwaite will be a really popular player for the run-in because of what he enables. Bit of set-piece threat as well, given how much emphasis they place on free kicks and corners. That could be important. So, yeah, I don't know about the attackers, though, at Everton, and including McNeil, and this rotation with the striker, isn't there? Harrison's been playing. You know, Harrison's an option. But I just think there might be better players like Garnacho, we were just talking about, in that kind of price bracket. Mm. But a defender, yeah, definitely of interest.
Odegaard at Burnley, we're going to sort of sketch over. I'm not even sure he's nailed on to start, but he's had 10 shots, 5 inside the box, 2 on target. He's not that great stats. Okay.
No. But yeah, he got the assist at the weekend.
Yeah. So we might get something, but he's Burnley. They haven't got a double. They're championship bound. They might get a good result every now and again, but not interested. As FPL Spartan says in the live chat, Tony is the most interesting in this table, and Tony is next. He's had 2 big chances, missed them, 4 shots on target, 8 shots, 7 inside the box. So pretty much all his shots are close range. Nailed on to start and on penalties. He's been underperforming by about a goal. So that obviously excludes penalties as well. So, Brentford fixtures are okay. Manchester United at home, Brighton at home. That's really good from an attacking point of view. Aston Villa away, and Sheffield United at home. So it's really, Tony is interesting at the moment, but no double. But if you're like me and wildcarding after 34 at some point, Tony is quite a good player to get in, I think, now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He's that player which will get overlooked, I think, because of the lack of doubles. and he's been poor recently.
Yeah.
I do think the Burnley game was, had they kept 11 players on the pitch, he may have got something from that game. Yeah. So it's maybe unfair to judge him on that performance, but Brentford have got good fixtures, but people won't go there, I don't think.
No.
Mbeumo's back as well now, came there at the weekend. He's going to make them much better. He gives them a bit more flexibility. We might see a 4-3-3 a bit more now. He's back, and they've got Wizzer and player Lewis Potter. A few more options up front. So yeah, it's one of those where he's going to find it hard to get in ahead of players like Darwin and Isak, who will double and things like that, and forwards like that. But it wouldn't surprise me if he goes on a bit of a run between now and the end of the season. He's got three of the next four at home. After that, it's Luton, Everton, Fulham, Bournemouth, Newcastle. They're not bad fixtures at all, are they?
No. Next name, Fernandes, Manchester United. So we've all spoken about Garnacho, the value there. And on the flip side, Fernandes is not value. He's got 15 shots, pretty impressive, nine of those inside the box. So he is attacking. He's been underperforming by a goal. He's actually has already scored one, so he should have scored two over the last four matches. And as I said, eight of his 15 shots are on target, and nine have been inside the box. So he's putting up the stats. He's got the pedigree. All FPL managers over the last few years have owned him at some point, and he's done extremely well. And by having penalties in the locker, unless he gives them away to someone like Rashford, is quite handy. But I think in a double game week with Manchester United, if it's favourable, I can see myself sort of going there, but I can also see myself regretting it afterwards.
Yeah, but I guess the good thing was Fernandes is minutes, isn't it? He's a 90-minute man. And so you're not going to, like, whereas Rashford might be taken off early, that won't happen with Fernandes because he's just going to play 90 minutes of every single match. And that's really appealing in, like, a double game week, especially when you're the main man on penalties. Yes, he gave one to Rashford, but you would think he steps up for the next one. So it's just whether or not, and it depends how the fixtures land. I think you're probably going to go for somebody like Garnacho, but it's whether or not you have enough confidence in that United attack to double up on them. Now, they were looking very good when Hoyland was leading the line for them pre-injury. If they can get back to some of that kind of form where they look really fluid as an attacking setup, then you might be more inclined to do that. The double in 37 will include an Arsenal match at home, which isn't great, of course. But it could involve Sheffield United as well. So if that kind of balances it out, depending on how it falls. So we really need to see what the fixtures are and how much you want to put into Man United.
You also see how Arsenal are doing, because obviously they are the absolute form team at the moment and still got strong fixtures as well. I mean, they do have City next, but then they've got Luton at home, Brighton away and Aston Villa at home. So it's an okay set of fixtures. But we saw this last season, and if you're in the Arsenal bottle job school of thought, cast your mind back to them playing Southampton last year. And you never know. But yeah, as it stands, Arsenal is a very, very tough fixture.
Yeah, they feel, I mean, I think Saliba being out last year was absolutely massive for them. And I think they have got a bit more depth to, still not sure they could cope with Saliba being out for the run-in, but I think they've got a bit more depth and a bit more flexibility up front now with Havertz there and Jesus and Trossard and, of course, Saka, Martinelli, Odegaard. They've got more options. So I don't see them falling away like last year. I'm not saying that they're going to win the league, because there's a lot of, you know, there's Man City up there, Liverpool too, but I don't see at the moment a drop-off like we witnessed last year.
I was just reminded in the live chat by Mark A that when I think it was on the team news with Neil, I called Bruno Fernandes Bernandes Fernandes. But it's clearly still making him laugh. It's making me laugh now. So I'll move on. Otherwise, I'll, won't better speak. Assists imminent. Who is due an assist? Well, this is a good name at the top. Eze. Eze, someone very much on my radar. There's a transfer in if I don't wildcard him. If I wildcard before his double, I will want him in there. He's an absolute priority, I think, because Crystal Palace's fixtures are on paper a little bit mixed. So they've got Nottingham Forest and Bournemouth up next, so you're going to get some immediate returns there. Then they've got tricky run of Man City and then Liverpool, but could have a double in 34. Could be in 37, could be in 34. In which case, Eze at 6 million with 10 chances created, 15 corners, 6 successful crosses in his last 4 matches. And if you can't be bothered with stats, just watch a game. He's really good. So, yeah, Eze, is he a bit of a priority for you, you know, ahead of their double?
He's not a priority at the moment because that City and that Liverpool fixture, which leads up to 34, is a bit off-putting for me. But I'd happily bring him in if I'm going to wildcard in 35 and I'm just looking to make transfers for game week 34 and he doubles, and the double is West Ham and Newcastle both at Selhurst Park, which we think it might be. That's, he's obviously going to be like a really appealing option for that. Playing under Glasner now, they've got this new kind of back three system. But I don't think interest will just be limited to Eze and that, because I think Mateta's there as well. He's only 4.9 million. He's been leading the line for them. Could be a really nice enabler. Yeah. And then they've got players like Munoz, the wing back, who's been getting in some great advanced positions. Chris Richards is still, I think, 3.9 million. Mm-hmm. What an enabler at the back if he's continued to play there, which I think he will do. So Palace are really interesting. Mm. But I think it will be a game week 34 move rather than...
Yeah.
Moving before that, for me anyway.
Yeah, so I've got I've sort of got Eze or maybe another Palace player penciled in for that move in 34. Yeah. And I think 34 will have it may not be a huge double game week, but it might be enough for me to want to spend hits on in order to get some key players, of which Eze I think is. Next name is Foden. 9 chances created, 12 corners, 5 successful crosses. No assists in his last 4 matches. We know about his goal scoring at the moment, but he's got that assist potential still, according to this table. I'm probably going to get rid of him for Salah game week 30. And then I see him on this table, and it's annoying. But he's just got a tough game against Arsenal. And then the fixtures are actually quite good. Aston Villa, Crystal Palace and Luton. But you can't have them all. And some other people might want to get Salah in for someone else, but for me I think it might be Foden goes, but he's still good, but might be rotated with Champions League.
Maybe. I mean, that could maybe apply to everybody at City a little bit over the next run, bar maybe Haaland, but still think he's really good. But it is difficult in midfield now because you've got Salah, who everybody wants. Son has this really good fixture against Luton. I do think people might be willing to sell Son maybe in a few weeks' time, but not now. I think it's too soon to sell him now. Everybody wants Palmer in their team for this good little Chelsea run with Burnley next. Saka is still there. Yes, he's got a tough fixture next, but then he's got Luton at home. People aren't going to want to leave them at self-exposed for that with no Saka. So something has got to give in this midfield, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And it's it probably feels like, who are you going to sell for Salah in some setups? And it's probably either Saka or Foden. I think a lot of people will do what you did, Joe, and probably sell Foden, which isn't ideal, but they won't double until 37. Mm-hmm. So you can always get him back. It might just be a temporary switch to enable Salah to get your captaincy sorted for the next couple of weeks. And then maybe bring him back in, depending on how the league looks for City. Mm-hmm. Because if it's going to go to game week 38, if it's going to go right to the end of the line, then they're obviously great options. If City have won the league by game week 36, which I don't think will happen, but if they have, then obviously that's when a player like Foden becomes, you don't need him because they'll probably rotate a bit. But it's not ideal losing him, is it, given his form?
I was going to say that FPL Spartans in the live chat has sort of echoed your view there. He says, Foden's now one of the best assets in the game. Sell him at your peril. But the way I think about it is game week 30 and 31 indeed. Do I want Salah at home to Brighton and captain him? And also game week 31 at home to Sheffield United and captain him? Or do I want Foden at home to Arsenal, which is a tough game where I wouldn't captain him? And then also... home to Aston Villa, which could also be tough as well. Aston Villa, a better side, certainly than Sheffield United.
It's team dependent, isn't it? I mean, when you frame it like that and you're getting a player like Salah feels important, I can see why you're selling Foden. Yeah. For other people, if they've got another route to Salah, and they can keep Foden, then perfect. Yeah. But it depends on your team.
Yeah, totally. We'll wrap up this table, but also those in the live chat do put some questions in, and we'll try and get to them in the live Q&A bit at the end as well. So we'll carry on going through this. Paqueta's next, West Ham. So we are looking at we aren't looking at West Ham players because they're not doubling. But for those that are, there's going to be a few non-free hit teams with a bit of West Ham there, a bit of Bowen maybe. Yeah. Paqueta was interesting on penalties, kudos as well. Only a couple of successful crosses, just one goal and six chances created. It's not the greatest underlying stats, but he has been underperforming. Should have got at least an assist over these last four matches. But I guess if you were going for West Ham player, they've sort of changed around a bit now, haven't they? They've got Antonio up front. So that means Ward-Prowse is probably missing out. But Paqueta's still there, still on penalties. Still an okay option, probably.
Yeah, the dynamic has changed, like you say. Antonio's been up front. That puts Kudus on the left and Bowen on the right, which means Paqueta goes a little bit more central than he had been when he was playing off the left before.
Yeah.
I think he's still my third favourite West Ham midfielder. I still think I prefer Bowen and Kudus because they've got a little bit more goal threat about them. But he has got penalties. Ward-Prowse has been dropped recently, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So there's no kind of debate as to who will take the penalty. It would be Paqueta.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, it goes back to that West Ham thing. They haven't got any doubles. The fixtures are okay. I think if you own Bowen at Newcastle, I think that's an okay fixture to play him in away at Newcastle. There could be space on the counter there.
Talking about home afterwards as well.
Yeah, they're not terrible. It's just whether or not they're quite good enough to say, I'm going to go for this player over a doubler. Mm-hmm. Are they that good, the fixtures? And I'm not totally convinced. But it wouldn't surprise me if they did okay.
Hanny in the live chat was saying, why get rid of Foden and not Watkins? Well, obviously, there's a midfielder and a forward, so I can't get Salah for Watkins, but I could for a hit. I'm considering that. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I mean, put that to you as a Villa fan. Now, I mean, looking at Villa's fixtures, they're pretty poor. They've got Wolves next, but then they've got Man City. Brentford's okay, then Arsenal. So they've got that sort of horrible run in the next four. And no double. So, yeah. Is Watkins definitely removable at the moment?
I think Watkins will continue to do okay during the running. We have got really tough fixtures. There's a piece going up on the site about this afternoon, and it analyses the opposition. Mm-hmm. They've got some good top half defences to play. But they haven't got any doubles. So a player like Darwin and Isak will have an additional fixture over Watkins. And I'm not sure if he is in the top three forwards to own for the run-in now. I do think that there's probably, obviously, Haaland's in there as well in the mix. And I think there's some appealing other options. I can see why people would kind of switch focus maybe and take a bit of a risk. It is risky going, you know, Watkins, we're saying he's got tough fixtures. When you look at the fixtures, the reverse fixtures, he's actually done really well against the opponents coming up, you know, against your team, Brighton, Joe. He got, 23 points, didn't he?
I was at another FPL meets there. I seem to do well on FPL meets, seeing either my team get hammered or my FPL team.
Yeah, so he got an assist against Wolves earlier on in the season. He did blank against City and Arsenal. He scored against Brentford, I think. Got something against Chelsea. Got two returns against Bournemouth. So, yeah, I think he's still going to do well. I don't think you're going to captain him anytime soon, though. In fact, I'm not sure there's a fixture between now and the end of the season where you would actually captain Watkins. So that becomes a consideration, given that he's £9 million now.
Yeah.
Well, I think he is... I'm selling him in 31. That's always been the plan because I need to get Haaland back in. I think he's fine to keep. I think he'll still keep ticking over. But I think if you are in a position where there's not long to go now, is the joke? And we might want to take it. We might be a bit more comfortable now taking a few risks. And that striker slot, going in with maybe Haaland, Darwin and Isak or something like that, getting that extra fixture, people might be more comfortable doing that.
Yeah, so I mean, for my team with Watkins, I don't think I'm going to get rid of Watkins this week. He's got Wolves at home. It's a good fixture. And I don't need to do that. But yeah, the following week, I have sort of earmarked a striker move. And Darwin and Isak are on my radar. They've both got doubles coming up soon. And we should know which one is doubling, or perhaps both will be doubling, in which case we'll definitely want... they're definitely on my radar.
Yeah, Liverpool are I think Liverpool can double in 34. Newcastle can't double in 34 because United got through. Ah. So the Darwin is probably the one that we're going to be having the focus on first. Mm-hmm. And then either one we wildcard, or if you're whatever you're doing, it's probably 35 onwards when Newcastle play Sheffield United, Burnley, then have a double game week. That's when Isak is going to be, it's going to be big.
And handily, Watkins to Darwin in 31. Bearing in mind, he's on eight yellows, but it's at home to Sheffield United. So that's a great fixture to bring him in there. But I mean, to be honest, Graeme 30 is a good fixture to bring him in against Brighton, my team as well. Bernardo Silva, I was just going to sketch over him, really, the next name here. But he's just sort of an also-ran, isn't it? It's Haaland, Foden, KDB's a bit out of the running now because there's an injury concern that's definitely going to keep him being rotated whenever he comes back. And so Silva, but it's worth mentioning that Silva, for a Man City double at some point, he has created 16 chances in the last four matches and has had six corners, four successful crosses, and has been underperforming by at least an assist over this period and has done well in the cup. So a name to consider, perhaps not now though. Iwobi, we have spoken about Fulham. Worth mentioning, he's had 18 chances created his last four matches. Elliot, Liverpool is interesting at 4.8. He's getting the odd return. The priority is really going to be like Darwin Nunez, a defender, Salah, maybe Diaz as well, we mentioned. But Elliot, 4.8, useful enabler perhaps for a Liverpool double.
Just depends how Liverpool are going to set up now. Everybody's back, didn't it? Because Elliot had been having been seeing a bit of game time, I think, in the front three with Salah out. Well, once Salah's back, it's going to be him, Diaz and Darwin getting most of the minutes. So what happens in midfield? Yeah. Like, is it Endo, McAllister and Szoboszlai, something like that? If so, where does Elliot fit in? It kind of feels a bit like with Trossard at Arsenal that Elliot would need an injury for him to become... Mm-hmm.
A
viable FPL option. Okay. But when he plays, I like him.
Okay.
So same
would apply to Szoboszlai then. He's sort of an also-ran with the Liverpool assets. But worth mentioning, he's had 15 corners in his last four matches he's played and created six chances and had six successful crosses and been underperforming. He has scored and he should have got an assist as well. Semenyo at Bournemouth is an interesting player. He will be in some... He's in your team, isn't he? Or was in your free hit team.
No, he was in my team. Yeah, I brought him in for the double game week.
He's in your real life team.
He's in there now. Yeah.
So I was thinking about the free here. I meant your wild card. I meant your double game week team the week before. The game weeks are coming so thick and fast, and they're so different as well. Bournemouth. So he's in your team. He is re-emerged in your team for game week 30, 4.5, created six chances, scored three goals in his last four matches and three successful crosses. So he's appearing on the assists imminent table. That's Hall imminent, given his goal threat. You must be quite happy having him in your team, not only getting his points, but he's going to stay for a while?
Yeah, I think so, because it was ahead of the double. It was either him or Carlton Morris. And I'd watched Semenyo against, I think it was against Burnley the week before. Yeah. And I really liked, I think he's a really good player. Mm. Doesn't have the penalties, but I won't always just go with the penalty taker. It's a nice thing to have, but I won't let that be the sole decision behind it. So I went with Semenyo and it paid off in that second match against Luton when he scored a couple, turned it into a really good week, actually. I think I had a game week rank of 1,000, which is probably my highest ever game week rank, I think. But now I was thinking before all this kind of double talk came out that maybe I could sell him and move him on. But now it looks like Bournemouth might get a double in 34, which would be against Villa and Wolves. It's not definite. It could be 37, but it could be 34. So if it is, I think I'm going to keep him because if you, I've got triple Bournemouth already, and if, so if they double in 34, that's kind of that taken care of. It does mean I've got Solanke and Semenyo up front, but I think he's a good option. He's only 4.5, which is great value. So him and Muniz, suddenly we've now got two really good cheap forwards who you can turn to, but Semenyo has got the advantage of that double.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's a very good player to have. And yeah, all these emerging players. Yeah. And also just after that free hit that was a bit rubbish, people will look at players like Muniz and in turn Semenyo from the double game week before and just think, well, yeah, we should be going for these sort of cheaper players, should be ignoring price a bit and just going for these players which can haul and get under the radar returns for us. Yeah, definitely. Let's have some questions in the live chat. So I'll see if I can find any so far and then, but do put them in from now. Just ask away. Lennox just notes that Jota is back running on the grass. So could be an option. He'll definitely be a serious contender for a double game week there. Colm asks, a player each from Palace and Chelsea is where I'm currently looking for my wild card. But he puts a question mark on there, so is that a good idea? So, I mean, yeah, I mean, we pretty much answered that with a lot of these. The players we're looking at, we've mentioned about Palmer, Eze, and you've mentioned a lot of defenders as well and other players at Palace. But I would put Gusto in there as well. Definitely playing. I can't see Reece James coming back soon. Yeah, I mean, I would be targeting those teams for a double game week, perhaps.
Yeah, Gusto's been playing really well recently, hasn't he? And Reece James will probably be back before the end of the season, but they're gonna manage him very carefully. I can't. He's not going to be thrown back in, is he?
No.
So Gusto and Palmer. Chelsea have obviously got Burnley next. They've got Sheffield United in a couple of weeks. They're not going to double in 34, but they'll have two double game weeks after that. So if you're playing a wild card now, makes sense to kind of start building towards that and having those players in place, given that they've got two newly promoted teams in the next few game weeks. But yeah, I think, like you say, Joe, I think it would be Palmer and Gusto. Jackson is of interest too.
Yeah.
But he is on 9 yellow cards, and that's really risky.
Yeah. And last time he was on, I think it was, I can't remember how many it was, in order for him to get a match suspension, but I know his manager said, "Don't, whatever you do, don't get another yellow for dissent." And he went, "Yeah, sure, boss," and then ran on the pitch immediately, like basically lamped the referee one or something.
It's so unbelievable. You just getting booked every single week, didn't they?
And unlike that famous Diego Costa one, where we thought, "Oh, he's going to get his suspension. Yeah. He's going to get that booking." He didn't get it for like months. But with Jackson, he will do. He'll karate kick someone in the crowd. Something he'll get it. Okay, let's see if we can get some more questions here. Zubin asked something a bit sort of meta, and I've got the fixtures in front of me. But what are the key differences between having a wildcard 30 and 31? And I know it's going to be team dependent, but what are the sort of, I guess it's, you know, what sort of team makeup would you have to want to wildcard? So you're saying you're going to wildcard in 31, but obviously not in 30. Is that right?
No, I won't wildcard now until probably 35.
Oh, okay.
Because I did the free hit last week. Right. That's not certain. Let's get the fixtures and have a look at it. But at the moment, I'm thinking wildcard 35. But I think the difference is between 30 and 31. One of the key ones is that the next fixture that we've got, Man City and Arsenal, in game week 30. Now, those are two teams which we're going to want to invest in for the run in, especially Arsenal, because Arsenal could double in 34 against Wolves and Chelsea. Mm-hmm. I think it would be. Obviously, getting double Arsenal defence, Saka, other attackers could be under consideration. Yeah. So I think the advantage to going in 31 is that you can kind of do that and not worry about Man City playing against Arsenal. So that would be kind of a reason.
Definitely looking at the fixtures. Yeah, obviously Man City got Aston Villa at home, Arsenal Luton at home, and then Arsenal have, and both those teams have good fixtures there on.
So, yeah, and we have got an article. I haven't been doing it, but there is an article which Neil's putting together, which is on the game week 30 wild card against the game week 31 wild card. Right. And he's going to be looking at a lot of the pros and cons. So I don't think that'll be out till tomorrow now, but have a look on the site, because whenever Neil puts together one of these articles, it's really thorough. It gets you thinking about things which maybe aren't, you don't immediately think of. And so I definitely advise having a look at that one. I think it'll be a free piece to read as well. So yeah, keep an eye on that over the next kind of like day or so. And we should have something up on the site about that.
Yeah, there's a few other, I mean, like Liverpool have got Brighton and Sheffield United. So there's not too much difference there. If you want Liverpool assets, you can go 30. 31, but yeah, that Arsenal Man City one as well. Just looking down the list as well. Yeah, and the Aston Villa point we made earlier as well. So Watkins has Wolves at home, favourable fixture, or on paper favourable fixture, but he has got Man City away in game week 31. So Watkins can suddenly be dispensable. I will ask you actually, is just because there's, I know that Wolves and Villa aren't the main rivals, but they're in the same neck of the woods. But is there any sort of history we should be aware of in the Wolves are like a bogey team for Villa or something like that?
We don't do that well against Wolves, to be honest. But we do seem to struggle against them a little bit because it does have a bit of a derby feel about it. But I don't think it's enough to put you off. I mean, Watkins at home, you know, he returned again. I think he got the assist against Wolves earlier in the season at Molineux for, was it Pau Torres who scored, I think? And yeah, he got the assist, Watkins. So I don't think he's anything to be too concerned. I mean, Villa are very hit and miss at the moment at home. You know, we had this great home record where we were just winning every single game. And then we've been, you know, United have beaten us and Newcastle and Spurs have beaten us. But I think for Watkins, I think playing him in against Wolves, I think that's fine at home. And if you are going to sell him, I think 31 makes more sense with the trip to City.
Okay.
And that kind of lends itself a bit more maybe to the game week 31 wildcard as well, doesn't it?
Indeed. Good question. When will we know about the game week 34 fixtures? I mean, I would say we don't know at the moment, but it does. The indications are it's going to be within the next week or so before game week 30.
We're hopeful that we'll find out before the next deadline. Okay. I don't think it's guaranteed, but I think we're hopeful that that'll happen.
Which is why we're not getting many price changes. I saw the price change today was Steele, the goalkeeper at Brighton. So we're not going to see too much of that. So if you can hold your transfers off, please do, because we're going to get much information about game week 34, possibly, highly likely before the game week 30 deadline. S1 asks, is Petrovic nailed and a good pick? If nailed, I would say a great pick, but is he nailed? He does seem to be. Sanchez in the cup and Petrovic in the league, but
it feels that way. But when you've got a keeper like Sanchez on the bench, there's always that bit of a worry in the back of your mind that he could come in at any point. So I mean, speak to Chelsea fans, but it feels like he's first choice at the moment. But I suppose you get one dodgy performance and Sanchez comes back in, and that's the worry. He's not nailed in the sense that Emi Martinez is nailed at Villa, for example. So there's a little bit of risk there. But then there is with Gusto as well a little bit, isn't there, once Reece James is back towards the run-in around those doubles time. So he might still be worth it. But I'd probably gauge a bit of opinion from Chelsea fans who are going to watch the team watching the team every week and can maybe advise on that.
Ted Wilson, how worried should we be about bringing Darwin ahead of Sheffield? Ahead of Brighton even in game week 30, considering 8 yellows. I mean, I'm looking at that. We spoke about that a bit earlier, but I mean, he is a target of mine for game week 31. But if he's going into that with 9, if he's going in with that with 8, I might chance it.
Yeah.
And hope he gets his ban before the double. But 9, I probably wouldn't go near.
No. Yeah, it depends what point you're moving and where he's at. But as soon as he gets to 9 bookings, and it's knowing what Darwin is like, it's going to be very worrying.
Yeah, yeah.
So if he's going into that game week 33 fixture, for example, against Palace at home, and he's on 9 bookings, that could impact the double then.
Yeah, totally.
So, but then you do want to play the game week in front of you a little bit as well with Sheffield United. That could be an absolutely great fixture for Liverpool's forwards, couldn't it? But there is real risk involved with it now. No.
Badger LFC, do you prefer to use free hit on 34, 37? That's difficult to say without knowing what the fixtures are going to be then. But I probably would say that I if I still had a free hit left, I would use it in the double game week that has got less fixtures in it, because I would want to try and use, if you've got a wild card and a bench boost left, focus on whichever game week for that and try and marry the two up. So get wild card before the double game week with absolutely loads of fixtures. So you've got loads, much more choice about the sorts of players you can get in. So I think that's the way I would look at it. So if free hit 34 is looking like, I don't know, Everton, Liverpool, Palace or something like that, then I would free hit that probably.
Yeah, guess look at the way the doubles fall and work out the players who are more certain. Players are perfect for free hits, aren't they? Because you just get them in for 1 week and then you dispose of them after. I think it'll probably be a free hit 34 scenario, but it depends what other chips you've got. If you're not using one in 37, that might be the bigger game week. Although again, it's all a bit up in the air at the moment. I don't honestly know.
After the international break, there's a press conference with Klopp, and he says Alexander Arnold, he's good to go, or you know, he's due back, you know, within a week. Would you consider the 8 million plus price tag of Alexander Arnold after ahead of his double?
Yeah, there's very few defenders, if any, which can match Alexander Arnold's upside. Yeah. I do think the emergence of Bradley gives Klopp more options now at right back, and Gomez has played there as well, hasn't he, on the right. So there is a bit more flexibility where he doesn't have to necessarily play Alexander-Arnold every game. So you need to look at his fitness before that double, the likelihood of him starting too. But he's the kind of player which could be loads of upside. If you're looking up to make up some ground, you want to go with a differential defender, getting on Alexander-Arnold early because he will play lots during the run-in. You know, we've got the England Euros tournament coming up. He's going to want to be playing in that and getting matches under his belt. So yeah, I think it could be a really nice pick.
James as this is quite an intriguing -4. He's considering Foden and Solanke for -4 to Salah and Muniz, or he could just not do a -4 and just do Son to Salah. There's risk with all of that, but there's a special risk in game week 30 because Son is at home to Luton. But at the same time, Solanke is at home to Everton. Foden has the tough fixture, but then has good fixtures afterwards. So I think either way, you're going to have problems, potentially, but either way could be good. But I guess the ultimate thing is it worth even getting Salah in if he's already got Son, for example, at home to Luton?
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to do that change in 30. That's a good fixture for Son. I mean, obviously, Richarlison's back now, so we're going to have to look at how that impacts Son. We could find him back on the left, but I find it very hard to sell players like Son before Luton at home. Yeah. And I don't even like the idea of selling Solanke because there's a good chance he's going to double in 34, and he's got Everton, Palace, Luton and Man United before that. So decent fixtures. So it doesn't feel like the time to sell him either. I don't know. I would probably either look at another way, or if there isn't another way, then maybe saying, well, I'll get Salah in the following week instead.
That's what I would think. I think I'd be minded to that because you're starting to talk about getting rid of too many good players that you want to keep. Kaya asks, sell Zabani or Van Heck for Gusto or Branthwaite? That's a real... it probably doesn't matter because Zibani's got one goal since he was in the Ukrainian under 17s and we happen to all get it in the double game week, those who own him. So he's probably not going to get any more. And Van Heck does get forward a lot. So you might get some return there. But once again, with Zibanejad and Van Hek, I don't know if you're going to get any clean sheets. Gusto or Branthwaite? My personal thing, Gusto. I think Gusto's a really good pick now. If I was to take a hit next week, if my defence is in a shambles, then I would get Gusto, I think.
So the question was, sell either Zibanejad or Van Hek?
Yeah, for either Gusto or Branthwaite.
So I'd sell Van Hek because Brighton have got Liverpool and Arsenal in the next three. Mm-hmm. In 34, they might even blank, I believe.
Wow. Okay.
Brighton in 34. Okay. Potentially. I'm pretty sure that has been that could happen. Whereas Bournemouth could double in 34. They've got better fixtures immediately. So I'd definitely keep Zibanejad and sell Van Hek.
Okay, right.
And then the other, what was the transfer in?
Gusto or Branthwaite. So basically Chelsea or Everton.
See what happens with the doubles, but if Everton double in 34, I'll probably go him.
Okay, yeah. Okay, FPL Pep says, Darwin Núñez and Ben White, who I know has been lighting up your team recently, because you've flown up the rankings recently, haven't you? Last time we were on a show, you were about 300K, and you're just outside the top 100K or something now.
Yeah, I did sneak in for a little bit during the free hit. Yeah. Don't know why. I think it was after Gibbs White got his return, and it kind of sneaked in, and then I was kind of back at it. But I'm about 100K.
Yeah.
And Ben White has been a key one of the reasons. Semenyo, obviously, but Ben White as well. He's been doing really well.
So FPL Pep says he's looking at Núñez and Ben White or Watkins and Udogi. I prefer the former, even with the yellows.
I agree.
Ben White is one of those players that he's not in my team, he's not in a lot of other people's teams, and he is in your team, and he's one of those differentials that a lot of players will not get, a lot of FPL managers will not get him in, so he will remain a differential for you, and he's getting those added assists.
Yeah, I think it was either the choice, I own Gabriel, so I wanted to double up on Arsenal's defence, so everybody was going Saliba. But I just looked at Ben White and his role's changed quite a bit recently. Yeah. That right side, he's so really sometimes he's tucking into midfield because Zinchenko hasn't been around. Yeah. But he's been getting, like the Sheffield United game, I think it was. He was really attacking the box and some great positions. Yeah. And so, that's really helped. And he's had a couple of double digit hauls as well.
Yeah, and he's not interested in international duty either. So.
No, yeah. And sometimes I think when you look into make up ground, which I was a few weeks back, and I was, like you said, I was like 300K. Sometimes the idea is to just start being a bit you can become a bit reckless and going for crazy captains. Mm. But sometimes it can just be one or two picks like Ben White or Semenyo over Carlton Morris. Yeah. And little things like that can actually make quite a big difference. Yeah. And suddenly you gain 40 points on other managers, and then it's not looking quite so bad. I mean, I don't know if I'll set a target now, but it'd be good to get to around about 50K or something like that. And that feels certainly more doable now than it did a few weeks ago. And so I do like Ben White. Yeah.
Definitely. Simon Brown, is Kelleher still an option? And if not, which other budget keepers? So I've got Kelleher in my team, but I probably wouldn't get him in until I know more about Alisson. But we're not actually hearing much about Alisson. So I know Klopp has said, Alexander-Arnold might be back a certain time, Jota's on the grass, that type of thing. Alisson, just nothing. So that would indicate we might go beyond game week 34 and we might still have Kelleher, in which case the best budget keeper is definitely Kelleher for Liverpool if he's going to be in a double. But other ones, I would probably, personally, I would be targeting, once you know more about the double game week, but I would target goalkeepers from teams with an extra fixture, so you've got the chance of playing them on a bench boost or double in a double game week. And I would probably, depending on when the double game weeks fall, obviously you've got Dubravka at Newcastle, but beware, Pope might be back. Neto at Bournemouth, Onana, Manchester United, Petrovic at Chelsea, Saar, Wolves, Pickford, Everton.
Yeah. I was going to say Pickford.
Yeah, Vicario at Tottenham. Yeah, Pickford's much maligned, but nevertheless is doing well. 8 clean sheets this season. So that's a surprise for Everton. So, yeah. So good that you said Pickford as well. So that's good. Okay, there's lots of questions. We're going to run out of time here. So I'll try and answer as many as we can in a short space of time. So I'll just talk quick fire them at Tom. Leno, would you be interested in getting Leno in?
No, probably not. I'd look for a goalie who's got doubles coming up.
Yeah, lack of doubles would put me off, but I think he's ordinarily good. Do we think Forest players might become good assets after their points deduction, similar to what happened when Everton, when they got the deduction, they thought the whole world was against them?
Yeah, it could galvanise them, couldn't it? You know, it gives the managers to kind of build that us against the world mentality, you know, a little bit like, and just try and really bring the group together. And three of the next four at home, I still think there are better options than players like an Alanga and Gibb White. But if you've got them from, you didn't free hit and you brought them in last week, I think they're fine to hold as well. I'm just not sure I'd be prioritising them as transfers now.
Yeah. FPL Spartans asked me a Sky question. He's saying, despite your... so would you do Watkins for Salah in Sky at the end of March? I haven't looked at my fixtures up to then for Sky, but I would say in general Salah has got a double game week, Watkins hasn't, and in Sky it's all about fixture volume. So basically, would you swap a player who's got less fixtures out for one with more? And yes, and Salah's very good as well, and you can captain him. So anyway, apologies everyone about the Sky question. Would you sell Bowen or Foden for Salah in game week 30?
Probably Bowen.
I would. I am selling Foden, but I don't own Bowen. If I did, I'd sell him.
Yeah.
De Bruyne, Ted asked, De Bruyne and Walker to Gusto and Salah for -4.
Yeah.
We did. For those listening to the podcast, me and Tom both nodded and smiled.
Well, I'm selling De Bruyne this week for Salah. Yeah. So that's obviously going to say, yeah, do that. And then selling Walker, I presume, to Gusto is just to give you that extra bit of money. And I would do that. That they seem like sound moves.
Let's go with, so apologies for everyone for not answering all of the questions, but I'll just go for this one because it's something we haven't actually addressed yet. Best Newcastle defender to invest in on a wild card. So he's going to be wild carding soon, and there's going to be a double game week at some point for Newcastle. Might not be till later, game week 37. Nevertheless, you want one in place. Is it still Trippier or is it another one?
Well, a few of them are flagged at the moment, aren't they? We've got Trippier, who's obviously injured, and Botman. I mean, we don't know. I think they'll probably be okay. I suppose it just depends on the rest of your team. I'd probably say it's one of those two, but there's obviously a big price difference between them, isn't there?
Yeah.
Trippier's, what, 6.7 now? Mm. Botman's 4.5.
I was going to say, I would go in the middle and get Sharon. He's 5.4, but if you're thinking about a double and goal threat, he's had 16 shots inside the box and Trippier's had one. So bear in mind, Porro, especially that when Maddison was out, Porro was seemingly just taking shots all the time. He had 17 shots inside the box over this season. So Sher's doing really well there. And he has scored 3 goals and he has 3 assists. So I would sort of go in the middle. I think.
I think that's a fair shout. Yeah, I do like him, and he's the kind of player, like you say, who could pop up with a goal. And if you do that, and you know, you could get a big score. But I would probably say either him or Botman rather than Trippier, just because I think you're probably going to want funds further forward. Looking at, you know, we're talking about Salah and Haaland and Son and Saka.
Yes.
There's a lot of, we need money further forward at the moment, don't we? So then putting 6.7 million into Trippier, who's probably in isolation is the best defender to own from Newcastle. But it's what it does. Does it mean that you've got to kind of skimp in other areas of your team, which you don't want to?
Yeah, no. Indeed. Thanks everyone who's joined us in the live chat. Thanks everyone who's listening and watching. If you're watching a bit later. or listening later. Also, special mention to Sukan for helping us out with some moderation duties in the live chat earlier. Thanks so much for that. That was much appreciated to know. We had an extra pair of eyes there. Thanks a lot for your time. Me and Tom will be back, or rather, I should say, Tom and I will be back, to be grammatically correct. Tom and I will be back probably tonight for our team reveal video. So we're going to get in a bit early there, and sort of our plans there. We might talk a little bit about potential if we get any sort of Game Week 34 news as well. And there's plenty more videos this week. I'm going to be looking at best goalkeepers, best defenders, midfielders and forwards. And then a bit next week, we'll have a bit more of the usual stuff back. Scoutcast, deadline dilemmas, burning questions, all that type of thing will be next week, not this week because of the international break. Thanks a lot for your time. Do remember to press that like button. Do remember to subscribe and check out membership offers at fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. Thanks for your time. Tom, take care. See you soon.
Thanks, Joe.